The subject that's on my heart tonight is how when God's people have burdens, and when I talk about burdens right now, I'm not talking about what you usually think about a burden. Usually if you talk about a burden, what do you think about?
Heartache.
Okay, heartache, something on your heart. It is, in that sense, it's a burden, but it's not a burden that you just have to carry around. But rather, it's a burden for God's people. Have you ever been burdened about someone else? Not someone's sickness, but their spiritual condition. Have you ever been burdened about someone else's spiritual condition? Do you think Jesus was ever burdened about the spiritual condition of other people? You remember how he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Was he burdened about Jerusalem? Was his heart heavy about Jerusalem? He was burdened about them. Now, someone this past week, Brother Donnie Durrance and I were talking, and he talked about how we study here most every Wednesday, and he talks about how when God's people are burdened about other people, that it gives them boldness to do and say things that they otherwise would not do and say. And I believe that's true. I believe that when you are really burdened about someone, when you love someone and you see them going in a wrong direction, when you see somebody that is spiritually sick and your heart loves them and you care about them and you're burdened about them, I think it gives you boldness to go and talk to those individuals whereas otherwise you would not talk to them. I think probably most of you have experienced that, where you were burdened about someone that you felt like was going away from God, and you were so burdened that it led to you being bold in going and talking to them about that problem. Is it somewhat bold to go and talk to someone about sin in their life or about their spiritual condition? Does that take boldness? I think that it does. I think that if you love people, that you will be burdened about individuals, and that as you are burdened about them, that it will lead to boldness, because your concern for those people is so great that you realize, I would rather lose their friendship than to see them continue down the path that they're going in. And so it leads to boldness, because whatever you can do and whatever you can say to try to turn them and convert them and change the direction they're going, you'll do anything you can for them. I think the Apostle Paul was often burdened about different groups of people. There were churches that he was burdened for, and I think Paul would go and he would talk to those people very boldly because of the burden that he had. So I believe that when people love other people and they're burdened about those people, and that's the kind of burden that I'm talking about tonight, is that when you're burdened about other people, it will lead to boldness for you to go and talk to them. And I encourage you, every time that you go in boldness, that you also go humbly to talk with them, but that you must talk to someone about the direction that they're heading because you care for their soul. You remember how James says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall" what? Shall what? "Shall save a soul from death." Now, if you care about people, you're going to want to try to save their soul from death. If you're burdened about them, you're going to do everything you can, and you're going to be bold to talk to them and try to let them know the depth of the concern that you feel about the direction that they're going. So I believe that when you're burdened about people, it will lead to boldness in talking with them, but it will also lead, I think many times, it leads to great blessings in that person's life as well as in your own life. Now, sometimes it doesn't. We're going to try to look at some of that tonight. But I believe that most of the time, I believe that many times it does lead to great blessings. Let's begin tonight by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want us to look at the burden that the Apostle Paul, I believe that the Apostle Paul was probably as burdened about the church at Corinth as any other church that he ever wrote to. I believe the Apostle Paul loved the saints of God at Corinth, and yet there were so many things wrong in the church that I'm surprised Paul would even call it a church. I mean, if you can imagine a problem going on, it was in that church at Corinth. You remember how in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what's the number one thing that Paul was burdened about? The first thing that he says in his communication to them, in his boldness to them, what was it that he was burdened about that led to his boldness that specifically is emphasized in chapter 1? What was the burden of Paul that was going on in the church at Corinth? There were divisions in the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, come down to verse 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." And then he goes on and talks about, is Christ divided? How can you as a church, how can you claim to be a church and be a divided body? How can you have schisms and divisions in the body? So was he burdened about this church? And did that burden lead to his boldness to write them and clearly identify the problem? Have you ever seen people that just beat around the bush and you weren't sure what the problem was? Sometimes I've had people talk, and when they finished, I would think, now, I'm not sure what the problem is. I know there's a problem. I like for people to be very plain in talking with me. I'm somewhat slow sometimes, and so the easiest way to get things across to me is just say it very plainly. And that's the way the Apostle Paul, I think, was, that he didn't leave any doubt. Do you think if you were a member of the church at Corinth and you had gotten this 1 Corinthians letter, do you think you would have doubted what it was Paul was saying? Did he clearly identify one problem after another? He was very plain in his speech. Why? Why was Paul so plain? Why was Paul less concerned about offending them than he was converting them? Why? I think because he loved them and he knew the seriousness of the problem, and therefore he was very plain and very bold. He was burdened, and the first thing he was talking about here was the divisions in the body, the schisms in the body, the friction in the body. Now come to chapter 5, and there are other problems that he addresses, but I just want to hit two or three and notice two or three of the problems that he addresses. And he's very plain. You know, sometimes people say, "I wish you wouldn't name names." Well, Paul did, didn't he? Did Paul name names of individuals that were causing trouble? Did he call them by name when he wrote to 1 Timothy and says, "Now, I'm going to tell you about Mark, and I'm going to tell you about this one, I'm going to tell you about that one." He made it very plain what the problems were. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the man's name is not mentioned, but there can be no doubt who was under consideration in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul is writing this down now, and he says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Now, was that pretty bold talking right there? Did he go into detail about exactly what the problem was as he goes from one problem to another? Does he spell it out? Is he bold in his writing? I think the greater the burden that a man of God has for a people is because of the greater love that he has for them. And the greater burden and the greater love is going to lead to very clear boldness in talking to the people. So Paul leaves no doubt about what the problem is. Second problem is that we're looking at right now is that there was a man in the church who was with his father's wife. In verse 2 he says, and ye are puffed up. Now, that don't you think, I want you to put yourself in the place of the people at Corinth. You get a letter, and somebody writes to you and tells you there's divisions in the church, and then he says, and you as a church are puffed up. How would you respond to that, Brother Brooks? If I were to say, Brooks, you're puffed up, how would you respond? Probably negatively. Why? Okay. Because you're calling me out on something. Now, I don't want you to think for a moment that churches didn't sometimes get upset with the Apostle Paul. I want you to know that Paul, though, was so full of love and concern, and he knew the seriousness of the situation, and he knew the seriousness of the consequences if they did not change. So Paul's burden led to him being bold. And it led, what did it lead to in this church at Corinth? It led to repentance. That's exactly right. He comes on down and he identifies other things in the church. He talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that when they came together for the communion, they were getting drunk. And he identified very explicitly problems that were contained and surrounded around the communion service. And he says, for this cause, many are sick, and many are dead among you. Now, didn't he spell it out real clearly in 1 Corinthians 11? Now, come to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Let's see how the church at Corinth responded. How would you respond if somebody was that clear in addressing problems in your life? Probably negatively. I think Brother Brooks summed it up when he said negatively. Probably gotten mad. And let's listen to how the church at Corinth responded. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this is Paul writing a letter after he had written the first letter, after they had changed the things that he had identified. He was burdened about the problem, and then he was bold about addressing the problem with the church at Corinth. Now I want you to see the blessings. Then I'm going to ask you this question. Do the blessings that came as a result of Paul's burden and his boldness, were the blessings to Paul or were the blessings to the church? Exactly. They were to both. The Apostle Paul rejoiced. He was happy to see the church at Corinth repent. He rejoiced. Paul was happy. The church was happy. Watch this now. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is writing the second letter. And he says this beginning in verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 beginning in verse 4. He says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears. Now what does that tell you about Paul's letter? When he wrote to them, what does that tell you about Paul's letter? Name two or three things it tells you. Name one.
Concern.
Concern. He loved them, didn't he? Do you think he was concerned that maybe this letter might offend them to where they would just say, you just stay away, we don't want to see or hear from you again? Was he concerned that might be the response of the people? Did he know that that was a real reality? That's how they could have responded. And so it was with much tears, he says, and out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Did he want to hurt the church? Was he trying to hurt or cause them to be grieved? No. He says, I've written out of much anguish of heart and with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. You see what Paul is saying? He's saying, it's because of love that I've written those things to you. Now, I think most of you know that I've mentioned before that when my daddy would start to whip me, he would always say this, and I never liked it. It was something I never wanted to hear him say. But he said, I'm doing this because I love you. And that would make me just as angry as anything that anyone has ever said. I didn't want to hear that because I didn't believe that. Was it true? Do you think it was true? Oh, yes. I know now. When I got grown, I knew what my daddy meant when he said, I'm doing this because I love you. And it didn't look like love. And did you know a lot of people don't know anything about the love of God? They say, oh, the God I love wouldn't do this. And the God I love wouldn't do that. the God I believe in, rather, the God I believe in wouldn't do this, and God I believe in wouldn't do that. Well, they don't know the God of the Bible. There are a lot of people that do not know the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a very jealous God. He is a God of love. And because He loves us, He will not allow us to go contrary to His Word and His way. He will bring chastening in our lives. Therefore, He sends messengers, and it doesn't have to be the preacher. Let me ask you this. Are parents sometimes so burdened about what their children are doing that they talk to their children and they spank their children? Because, and why are they so bold in doing that? Because they love them. And what does it often yield in the lives of those children? It yields great fruit in their lives. So Paul has written to this church. He was greatly burdened in writing them the letter. He said, I didn't write you to grieve you or to offend you. He says in verse 5, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Now listen carefully to verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. What man's he talking about in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6. What man is he talking about? Yes, the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 5, who had committed adultery. He says, now, that man back there, he received much affliction from many of you who stood against him and let him know that what he was doing was wrong. Paul had a burden. He wrote to the church. Then the church had a burden. What did they do? They talked to the man. They put the man out of the church. Verse 7 says, so that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him. Why does Paul now write a letter saying to forgive the man? Why is he telling them that? It's because he had first written a letter telling them to put the man out of the church. They obeyed that letter, and they grieved and mourned and put him out of the church. And now the man is brought to grief and repentance in his life, and he's feeling much remorse and great godly sorrow. So what does Paul now say? Now the man has brought forth fruit meet for repentance. Now forgive him and receive him back into the body. That's the intent and purpose of church discipline, is to restore the people to the body. It's not to put people out of the church. It's the hope and desire of any church that ever follows godly church discipline is to the saving of the soul of that individual. It's not to cut them off and remove them always from the body, but rather that they would be brought to the realization of the seriousness of the sin that's in their lives. Look at verse 8. Well, let me finish verse 7. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. What's he saying? The man is just grieving himself to death because of the chastening that the church carried out. Verse 8 says, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write. What's he saying in verse 9? When he says, for to this end did I write. I wrote the whole letter to you hoping that this would be the result. I wrote that first letter to you for you to carry out the discipline, the church discipline, in hopes that the man would then repent, would bring forth godly sorrow and change his life. And he says, that's the reason I wrote it to you. Now, Paul was what? What's the first thing he was? He was what? Burdened. And then it led to what? Boldness. And then what did it lead to? It led to great blessings. Do you see that? Blessings in Paul, blessings to the man, blessings to the church. The blessings were abundant. But it all started because the Apostle Paul had a burden in his heart because of the sin in the lives of the people that he loved. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He again is addressing the same individual in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. But he is setting forth here that he had a burden. I want you to see clearly in the Word of God that there is this pattern in the Scriptures. Doesn't matter whether you look at the life of Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul or Peter or any of the servants of the Old Testament. If you look at the Old Testament prophets, do you know how the word burden is most used in the Bible? It's
talking about the burden of those prophets in the Old Testament. What were they burdened about? They were burdened about the sin in the lives of God's people. And because they were burdened, they were bold to talk to the people about what was wrong. And they were looking for the great blessings that would come if the people would repent. Look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 8. He says in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 8, "For though I made you sorry with a letter..." What's Paul saying there when I said, "I made you sorry with a letter"? Did they rejoice when they got that 1 Corinthians letter? Were they glad to get the letter? Were they grieved? They were grieved. They were made sorry by that first letter. He says, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season." In other words, you grieved because you got that letter, but the grief you experienced was only for a season. Now, he says in verse 9, "Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance." Do you see the joy that came to Paul? He says, "I had a burden, and I was bold in writing that letter to you." And now he says, "I rejoice, I'm happy. I didn't rejoice to write you that first letter. It grieved me to write that letter. But after I wrote that letter and you repented, I find great joy in seeing the repentance of the church. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves." What does he mean? Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Was there a purging? Was there a cleansing? Was there a salvation that took place in this church because they received the words of Paul and they responded in a godly way? And they sorrowed to repentance. Godly sorrow will always lead to repentance. The sorrow of the world will lead to death. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus said, Jesus told him, "One thing thou lackest." Did the man go away sorrowful? Did he have sorrow in his heart? What kind of sorrow did he have? He had the sorrow of the world. He didn't have godly sorrow. Why do you say that, preacher? Because godly sorrow will always yield repentance. Come now to the rest of this verse. He says, "What clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear." Was there fear because of what Paul had written in that first letter? Absolutely. Yea, what fear. Who were they afraid of? Now listen, this is kind of a trick question. Who were they afraid of? Who were they afraid of? Well, I think that they were afraid of God. And if you go home and study 1 and 2 Corinthians very carefully, I think you'll also find they were a little afraid of Paul too. Now, I think it was right that they should be afraid of Paul. They knew that if they did not respond, Paul was coming and he was going to come to them with harshness. And he says, "Now I don't have to come to you with harshness because you responded to the letter." They loved Paul. Paul loved them. They didn't want him to have to come and try to straighten out that problem. They straightened it out before he got there. The number one that they should fear and all of us should fear is not man, but God. Fear God. Fear God. Everything we do in our service to God should be moved and motivated out of love for God. And as we grow spiritually, I believe with all my heart that our service to God becomes more and more motivated out of love for God. Brother, somebody asked me recently, I'm not sure what the question was. I think it was, "Why do you serve God?" And I want to ask you that question. Why do you serve God? Let me just get three or four answers right now. Brother Robbie, why do you serve God? Okay, fear God for one thing. Brother Clay, say it again. No, you go ahead. Yeah, I think it's both. Brother Clay, why do you serve God?
Okay? For the rich, why do you serve God?
To bring
glory to Jesus Christ. Now listen, I believe with all of my heart that there is not a wrong answer that was given here tonight. Everybody understand that? I believe if you study the Word of God, you'll find that there are people that feared God and they served God primarily because of fear, others because of love, others just to glorify Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of other reasons that people serve the Lord. Sometimes, periodically, in fact, I've done this several times since this person asked me, why do you serve the Lord? I've examined myself and said, now, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it a good question for you to ask yourself? Why are you doing this? And we don't know for sure why the church at Corinth responded the way they did, but they did respond correctly, didn't they? They did what was right. What was the first thing that was in Paul? The what? The burden. The burden that Paul had about the condition of the church at Corinth led to Paul being what? Bold. It led to boldness, and his boldness led to what? It led to great blessings in Paul's life and in the life of the church. Go with me to Isaiah just a moment. Back up in your, Ezekiel. Back up in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. Why did Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, do you think Jeremiah was a prophet that had to go out and tell people things that he didn't want to tell them? Do you think all the saints of God in the Old Testament, do you think the prophets often went out not wanting to do what they were doing? Brother Rich, what do you think? Okay, yes. I think so. I think that sometimes we do things because we have to do it, and part of that is because of fear. But God, and part of it's what Brother Clay said, that God calls you to do something, and you do what God's called you to do, but you have to do it. It's imperative upon you that you do what God is telling you to do. Listen in Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, starting in verse 3. The Word of God says, and he said unto me, that is, God said to Ezekiel, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. Now, how do you think, if you were Ezekiel, Brother James, God's calling you and telling you to go out to a stiff-hearted and stubborn people, how are you going to feel? You're going burden. To feel burden. Thank you. That's good. Burden. Now, the burden here is somewhat different, I think, than the burden the Apostle Paul felt for the church at Corinth. Do you see that there's a burden? I've got to go do something. These are people that I don't think that Ezekiel had necessarily the same burden that Paul had. I think Paul loved the church at Corinth. I think that his burden was because of his concern for them. Now, Ezekiel was burdened because he had to go to a people. Let me ask you this. Do you remember anybody in the New Testament that was much like Ezekiel who had to go to a... Who, Sister Cindy? Stephen. Yes, yeah, Stephen. You remember? Did Stephen have to go to the same kind of people that Ezekiel did? And he stood up and he said to those people in Acts chapter 7... He said, now was there boldness in what Stephen said there? Was there a burden in his heart that led to that boldness? And the burden was he had to do what God was telling him to do. And he stood there and he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did resist the Holy Ghost, so do ye. Now that was as bold as anything you'll find in the Word of God, I think. He was bold. And he was burdened. And it led to blessings. Did it lead to blessings? See, what I've said is, there's a principle in God's Word that burdens lead to boldness, and the boldness, godly boldness, will always lead to blessings. Now, do you see any blessings in the way the people responded to Stephen's preaching there? In Acts chapter 7, do you see any blessings that came there to the way the people responded to what Stephen preached? I don't see any blessings there. I don't see the people receiving any blessing. Do you? But was Stephen blessed? Oh, Stephen was blessed as much as any human being on the face of this earth. Because when they began to stone him and kill him, he was able to look up and see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. He had a burden. He had to go tell those people something. And he knew they were ungodly people. He knew he was dealing with a people much different than those people that Paul was writing to in the church at Corinth. And he stood and spoke to those people in such a way that most people would probably not have spoken, but God burdened his heart. He went with boldness. He spoke the words. And then who was blessed as a result of the burden and the boldness? Who was blessed? Stephen was blessed. The people weren't blessed, but Stephen was blessed. And he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. The heavens were open. He saw Jesus standing there. And then he was able to pray. Wasn't that a marvelous thing to pray for those people that were killing him? That was as great a blessing, I think, as anybody. I have trouble praying for my enemies. I do. Sometimes I can do it. It's kind of like somebody else in the church told me one time, I don't have any trouble praying for some of my enemies until I see them. And when I see them, the rage just boils back up. Have any of you ever been there? Where you could pray for somebody, but then you saw them, and it was much different, much more difficult. Ezekiel chapter 2. I didn't mean to leave Ezekiel there out in the wilderness alone. But I want you to listen in closing to what God told Ezekiel. He said, Son of man, I'm sending you to a stiff-necked people, a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. This is Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 3. And hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Did he have a burden? Did he have a burden to carry? Did he have boldness when he went out there and spoke to those people? Yes, he did. And then the scripture says, And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Do you hear the last thing God tells Ezekiel right there? He says, I'm not telling you they're going to repent. I'm not telling you they are or they're not. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Now, brethren, let me tell you something in closing. When you've had a burden about a people, and then you have had the boldness to go and talk to those people, and then those people will not repent, and you work and you labor and you work and you labor, did you know there's going to one day come a blessing to you because of the working and the laboring? It's not always going to be like Paul experienced with the church at Corinth. Sometimes that's the experience, but sometimes it's just this way, is that God just relieves you of the burden of those people completely. Have you ever been there where God just took the burden away? There's no more burden for that individual. And why would you ever reach a point where you no longer feel that burden? It's because God lets you know you did everything you could. You're without charge in this situation. And you can back up and go concentrate somewhere else. Because your burden, not necessarily everybody else's burden, but your burden for that person is no longer there. I pray that God will help us all to realize the truth of what I'm trying to convey tonight. I pray that God will help us to realize that God burdens your heart from time to time. If you're a child of God, you're going to be burdened about some other people. And when you have that burden, I pray that God will give you boldness to go talk to those people in the spirit of love and do exactly what God is telling you to do. And I want you to always remember that there will be blessings that come to you when you do what God is telling you to do. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.